In May 2021, there's going to be an abundance of democracy. Some people are finding themselves voting simultaneously for four, maybe five elections in the UK, for district councillors, county councillors, a mayor or two, police and crime commissioners, best dressed scarecrow, etc., etc. But the expectation is that only a third of the populace is going to show up, and probably only half of them have heard of any of the candidates for which they are being asked to pledge their trust and allegiance. My name is Richard Freeman, and in this week's After Corona edition of the Possibility Club podcast, I'm exploring the purpose and future of local politics. Cast your minds back just before Christmas 2020, on the 10th of December, a rather heated meeting of Handforth Parish Council Planning and Environment Committee took place remotely on Zoom video conferencing software. A few weeks later in January, an edited highlights video package of that meeting started gaining a bit of traction on social media. What was this strange pantomime of parochial public officials tearing strips off one another over the internet? The video, which largely concerned a bad-tempered committee chair at loggerheads with a guest mediator who'd been brought in to try and restore order to what was a notoriously dysfunctional group, showed the clear factions and the battle lines that were being drawn. Now, council meetings in this part of the UK were actually quite notorious for bullying and tension, but only if you had a reason to be aware of them. Yet on YouTube, this video was racking up thousands and then hundreds of thousands of views, spawning catchphrases, musical theatre tributes, merchandise, parody sketches. Suddenly, an unassuming meeting from a small town in Cheshire was a global news story. The Washington Post described it as being like an absurdist British play. But the undeniable star was the only real grown-up in the room, a professional local government officer and clerk by the name of Jackie Weaver, who'd been parachuted in to challenge the intimidating behaviour. Her calm and assertive manner was recognised and praised instantly, and she became a very big star overnight. Since that meeting, Jackie Weaver has become, dare I say, one of the most famous women in the UK. On radio, TV and in print, the subject of profiles from the tabloids to the broadsheets. For over 24 hours, her name was the highest trending topic on Twitter, and months later, the limelight is still very much hers. The UK government are looking at making live streaming of all parish council meetings mandatory due to what Robert Jenrick, the Secretary of State, is calling the Jackie Weaver phenomenon. And Jackie has used her newfound fame to lead discussions about young people and politics, the role of local government, sexism and bullying, and the very messy world of democracy. I was delighted to have spent some time with Jackie at the start of March 2021, and we discussed all of these things and lots more besides, particularly about what happens when the dust settles on this pandemic and on Handforth Parish Council. What does the future hold for local politics? And of course, what does the future hold for Jackie Weaver herself? Well, a very good morning, afternoon, I can't even tell anymore, to you, Jackie. Lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming on to the Possibility Club. How are you and where are you calling in from?
I'm very well, thank you. I've had time to take a breath, so I know it's afternoon. I'm calling you from Shropshire. A little place called Priest, just outside Whitchurch.
Lovely. I'm sure that's pretty gorgeous now that the spring sunshine is starting to creep through. There are two reasons that I wanted to have a chat with you. Genuinely really grateful that I have the opportunity to do so. One being, you put a tweet out a few days ago, which seemed like a kind of genuine question about engaging young people with local democracy. You know, how do we change, rethink, readapt the way local authority, local government is viewed or perceived so that younger people feel that it's not alien or over there or belonging to a different source of spokesperson in that sense. And we all often talk about young people voting, but actually how do young people get much more involved in the sort of the democratic structures around them? So I really wanted to talk to you about that shortly. But also, you're
you're probably the most famous woman in the UK at the moment. And and I think, you know, for some strange reasons, but possibly the right reasons as well, because I think to many you're a bit of a hero. I really want to explore a little bit about what unexpectedly going in the limelight like you have, what that's been like, but also looking at some of the things that and the conversations that that infamous Zoom call that you had with Handforth Parish Council has, you know, made us all start to have. Certainly lots of conversations I've been having with friends, wide ranging from, you know, the role of local government to bullying, to gender, to the, you know, online versus physical, and how these kind of can these meetings happen, and governance structures, all sorts of things like that, which I don't think would have happened without that sort of viral moment. So maybe we start there. You know, what's your last few weeks been like in the aftermath of that?
I mean, I do still work full time. I have a smashing team with me. I have two colleagues that have literally picked up the slack for me, so that's been marvellous. But it's kind of been it kind of follows two threads. I mean, personally, I've got to do some really fun things that I couldn't have imagined being able to do. I've enjoyed a bit on the telly. I kind of like the radio. I'm beginning to tell the difference between telly and radio. Honestly, that's harder than you might think.
No, it is. Absolutely.
Because it all looks pretty much the same. And I think, well, if I'd known this was radio, I wouldn't have bothered doing my hair. Anyway, so there's been lots of really fun things that I've been able to do around that. And I say, as an ordinary Jackie Weaver, I would never have had the access to that. But the other side of that for me has been, I've worked in the background of local government for the last 25 years. For a large part of that, on and off, we keep trying to break in to a different demographic, which we keep trying to encourage different people. And by different, you can take that to be anything you like. You can take it to be age, sex, whatever you like, to get involved with local politics, with local government. Hugely important. I feel that, you know, if only people knew what was there. But it's how do you get that message out? And this has given me the platform to do that. I mean, I've had more people interested in talking about, okay, the meeting itself, and, you know, there are some funny things around that. I totally get that. But on the back of it is also a genuine interest in, well, okay, tell me a little bit more about it.
I mean, that's great. It's great to hear that you've been able to enjoy it, because I imagine with these great opportunities and the novelty of it, there's also quite a lot of pressure. There's probably quite a lot of negative comments as well. I think anyone in the spotlight will get that. And if you're not used to it, that can be quite alarming. So that's great to hear. And I've certainly enjoyed all the musical theatre pieces. I mean, the wonderful Flo and Joan a couple of weeks ago, they were very quick off the mark. That was great.
How did they do that? How did they learn those words and sing them so fast? It's just absolutely amazing.
Well, I think, again, we're seeing just how brilliant most of our artists are in this moment when it's a very torrid time for them. You know, the point about the meeting, and I mean, that's interesting that it's got that positive reaction to it, because on the surface of it, it could put people off local politics for life. I mean, it wasn't a happy occasion. Yeah. But I think, you know, obviously you came out of it well just by being that sort of calm voice and trying to mediate this field of what did seem to be a lot of kind of slightly overzealous old white men, which is the kind of framing of it. And there's a lot of people that think that's what local politics is. It's people who don't represent me, don't necessarily look like me, of the subsect of society that has already got lots of power and lots of voice and lots of opportunity.
Although, to be fair, one of the old white men was actually quite young.
Yeah.
And he was, in fact, the most aggressive of the three.
Absolutely. Yeah. Democracy is messy and it's ugly at times, but overall, there are ways of ensuring that people behave properly.
And I think what they, and I hope some people saw from that, was actually it doesn't require you to, you know, put on particularly big girl pants in order to deal with it.
Yes.
You don't have to join them in order to effectively beat them. And I think also, I hope we've demonstrated that actually in the sector, there really is a willingness to change.
That's spot on. Yes, there's the slightly traditional, even slightly misogynistic trope that to be a woman in a man's world, you have to go in and shout louder. You know, that's as regressive an idea as not having any women in the situation at all. But parish councils, probably more hidden usually than most. You know, that's the sort of entry point for a lot of people thinking of going into to local politics.
And in a way, it is part of the success of town and parish councils. I mean, you know, somebody asked me a while back, can't be that long ago, so it must have been in the last 3 weeks, but it seems a long time ago, asked me a while back, are all parish council meetings that exciting? And the answer is no. I mean, apart from anything else, I think, you know, I often feel sorry for the reporters who cut their teeth on having to go along to, you know, endless town and parish council meetings, because if you are not from that community, it has to be like watching paint dry. Mm. But if you are from that community, then they're talking about things that you are likely to be passionate about yourself, one way or the other. So it's a very different experience for somebody, shall we say, outside the parish. And in fact, it kind of, you know, as soon as you move away from the parish itself, it becomes less relevant. But to the people who are in it, different ball game altogether.
Yeah. What does post-traumatic growth mean to you? The global COVID-19 pandemic has led to big questions about the very nature of work, society, culture, education and economics. But what does that mean for you and your projects? Hosted by Always Possible, The Possibility Club is a safe space to think about what comes next. If you're interested in shaping the future and learning from others, we are your tribe. It's free to join with access to a wide network of thinkers and doers. There are also collaborative discussion circles, expert Q&As and events delivered in partnership with organisations such as the University of Sussex and the Institute of Physics. You can join in the conversation at thepossibilityclub.org. That's thepossibilityclub.org.
I had an interview quite recently with Stella Creasy looking at sort of where power lies, community power. And she's saying, you know, as an MP, really, the greatest power she feels is the mobilisation work she can do within her community, you know, working with the grassroots voluntary sector organisations. It's the very, very local stuff. And actually, when she's in the House of Commons voting on something, she's relatively powerless. You know, it's important that she's there, but actually she's a small cog in quite a big and frustrating wheel, whereas actually, you know, where real power lies is in communities.
Also, Richard, where you can see real change.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that has kind of switched people off from central government, from big P politics, over the last however many years, is that no matter how enthusiastic or passionate or committed you are, you're not making a difference. Whereas at local level, you can see that you're making a difference, and you can see it in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You don't have to live to be 100 to see the change. You know, you can affect local change reasonably quickly.
Is the challenge then the language around some of the way that, you know, it's all set up?
When it works well, you actually don't see it. It's invisible. Yeah. So that, you know, my day job is providing exactly that kind of support to, you know, 234 councils in my patch. So that, you know, it's about getting your standing orders and your policies and your procedures right, read them and understand them. And having done that, we then just get on with the day's business, because it's kind of something that underpins the council, but we're not actually referring to it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for young people who are challenged with saying, I'll try not to use a whiny voice, but they say that they're very complicated, mm-hmm. to say it. And I say, well, for goodness sake, have you ever read the instructions, the rule books for some of these online games? I mean, frankly, the Brexit negotiations look pale by comparison. So it's about how much you want to do it. So, you know, you're prepared to spend knows how many hours looking at these complicated instructions for an online game that, frankly, I couldn't get my head around. But it's too much of a challenge to get your head around standing orders.
Well, I wonder if people, if young people do read so much those instructions. I mean, I think that there's been much more tendency of learning by doing. And I think, you know, and gamification and games culture has probably thrived at that. You know, you can, you have, you try it, you fail, you try again, you get better. I think there's probably a sense that when it comes to some the seriousness of politics or policy, you've got to get it right first time.
Go and watch the demo.
Yeah, that's the key thing, isn't it?
But I mean, my pet hate is, and I'm not kind of saying this is about young people particularly, but my pet hate is someone who goes along as a councillor for the first time to their first meeting. And says, you know, I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue, but here's what I think.
Yeah.
And here's a crazy idea. How about you keep your mouth shut till you know what you're talking about?
Yes.
Great. You know? And I don't mean keep your mouth shut for the next 10 years, although in some cases, I would advocate that. But I'm really talking about, you know, give it a couple of meetings to see what, you know, how does this work? Now, if you're going to change something, you have to be in it to change it.
And you have to listen and know how to listen.
And then work on change.
Yeah. Where do you see change coming from? And I mean in the accessibility and the structure and the kind of mission of local government. I mean, overall, I should have asked you at the beginning, you know, do you feel that local politics and local government is in a good place? Is it healthy at the moment?
Yes. It's healthier than it has been in many, many years. And it is growing. And it's growing because of necessity. It's growing because we're all short of money. Mm-hmm. So that whereas before, many communities would have money given to them. And when I say money, I don't mean handing over cash, but I mean things like, you know, you need your grass cutting, we'll cut your grass. You need your ponds, your ditches and everything doing, we'll do them. So principal authority always did to the parish councils. Now they've no money. The central government grant has been cut year on year. And it's not a political statement, that's just a fact. So it means that the principal authorities don't have as much money. You want your grass cutting in a parished area? You're going to be paying for it. Mm-hmm. So a community is going to get the services and infrastructure that the community wants and is prepared to pay for. And the mechanism by which we'll do that is through your town and parish council.
And interestingly, again, lots of conversations I've had, particularly during the pandemic, as you say, you know, there's been 10 odd years of austerity and some very conscious kind of stripping back of the budgets available locally. And so the role of local authorities in their different guises has been questioned and rethought, and, you know, whether it's simply just kind of statutory services or, as you say, you know, they can provide services as long as they're sort of paid for, but they may be able to do them more efficiently because of buying power or whatever. But has the pandemic maybe challenged even some of that rethinking? It feels like some local authorities have really come into their own and actually shown it's not just about the services provided. It's actually the ability to galvanise, to bring together people, to share data, to have a really good understanding of what some of the local citizens and residents need in a way that local government never can. I mean, I guess the track and trace system and some of that in itself, you know, the criticism has been that kind of centralising it was disregarding all of this local knowledge.
I think it's a kind of horses for courses, because I think there is a need for the principal authorities to work strategically. There is some stuff that has to be done strategically, but there are other things like, you know, making sure that Mrs. Jones actually has some food in the cupboard, or Mrs. Jones is, she's really disadvantaged, Mrs. Jones.
Sorry to hear that.
I know, it's a sad story. But making sure that, you know, prescriptions are picked up, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't expect someone remote to know about all the Mrs. Joneses. No. And that's, of course, one of the places that the parish councils have really stepped up during the pandemic. And it's been something really positive, where we've seen the parishes working much more closely with the community and voluntary sector.
Yeah.
Previously, they tended to kind of operate in silos, side by side, but they don't really cross-pollinate very much. What we've seen is a real partnership between the two, so the parishes are able to provide, for example, funding, for example, expertise, you know, through using their officers, And it supported local community groups in the example that I gave.
And so do you think, you know, as well as the visibility that you've had, you know, that's the real reason why people are coming forward and asking to find out more? Because I think people have become more conscious of their community in the last few months, and conscious that their community, in order for a community to thrive, you know, there's decisions that need to be made. There's people who need to step up and show a little bit of leadership in order to try and support Mrs. Jones and everybody else.
Everybody has a Mrs. Jones.
Yeah. But actually, when you have something on the scale that we've had, Mrs. Jones just being supported by her neighbour is not enough. You know, there's people falling through the cracks. There's people who don't have those neighbours. There's people who've been, you know, stuck in home, literally stuck in home for nearly a year now because of their health conditions or whatever. And so the optimist in me hopes that that's a kind of an awakening a little bit. How do we prevent it going back to normal and people having no clue about what goes on in their local councils? How do we get more young people, more diverse people, kind of fresh ideas into local politics forever?
For me, that's about links. It always boils down to the same thing, whatever you call it, links, communication, etc. So, you know, I kind of feel that it's up to people like yourself and the many others like you. I mean, you know, all the people that are contacting me to say, will you do something? Mm-hmm. Keep asking. And let's keep promoting it, because we kind of feel, and I've learned this over the years, that, you know, sort of think, yeah, but I've said the same thing several times. Nobody's interested in hearing you. But actually, you're always being heard by somebody different. You know, it kind of feels like your message to you, you might feel your message is old. I mean, my message feels 25 years old to me. But actually, people are hearing it and saying, oh, that's you. I think the other thing, and I think it's one of the reasons why the video touched so many people, is I think there is really something there about the whole bullying theme.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I've been quite surprised at my mailbox about the number of people, not necessarily from parish councils, but some from parish councils, who are often women, but not exclusively women, who talk about, you know, cultures that they have at work or in local government of bullying, etc. And what kind of touched them was seeing that there are actually ways of dealing with it. Kind of almost like, well, there's hope there. It can be dealt with.
Yes, indeed. And it's easy to be complacent about progress that's been made and ignore a lot of that real kind of toxic culture that still underpins a lot of those sorts of meetings and those sorts of environments where, you know, it feels a bit like the old boys club.
Yeah. I thought you young people had sorted all of this.
Well, I thought we had, but sorry. I don't think we have. And sometimes we're part of the problem because of that complacency. And thank you for calling me young. I definitely don't feel it.
You're just having a bad day.
This podcast is brought to you by Always Possible. But who are we?
Always Possible is an energetic team with a proven track record of building ideas that work.
We use research, problem solving, design and storytelling to help transform society and to build businesses.
We give crucial support to organisations that care about the future.
From architects to aerospace companies, puppet theatres to primary schools, business networks to big data analysts.
Maybe you want to build your business in challenging times, or you want to build opportunities for communities. We help leaders work out what's next.
Find out more about how we could power up your mission. Visit alwayspossible.co.uk.
Alwayspossible.co.uk.
But a colleague of mine, you know, went along to, you know, we're part of a big multi kind of stakeholder project doing lots of support for small businesses, and there are lots of people in the room. But, you know, that is the world of business, the world of business support, and particularly when you've got, you know, we're really trying to encourage a more diverse set of entrepreneurs coming through. You know, lots of people are losing their job in this pandemic and want to set up their own businesses. It's got to be made easy for people to do that, as much as it is to take part in public life. But actually, when you go along to some of the, you know, the business support meetings, again, it's the golf club set. You know, it's lots of quite fragile, but quite aggressive men that all were on, you know, buddy terms, that find it quite difficult to let new people in. And, you know, finding that increasingly in different sort of meeting setups. And I wonder if it's, you know, there's an old guard that's kind of dying out, and in the last throes of it, it's actually getting a little bit more defensive and a little bit more threatened, perhaps, by some of the new energy and blood. So maybe, you know, maybe it will just disappear soon.
I don't know. I mean, one of the things that, you know, my husband and I watch is The Apprentice.
Oh.
When you just move ever so slightly beyond the, you know, the laugh at, you know, somebody failing horribly, because we all kind of get a laugh out of somebody really falling flat on their face. you know, really, Lord Sugar? You are actually promoting this and your team? This is a way in which you are saying you've engaged with young people? No!
I hate it so much, Becky. I really hate it.
And yet it's promoted.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, as if that's any kind of blueprint. You
the
know.
Apprentices themselves are absolutely happy to shove anybody under the bus as well. Yeah.
You know, Alan Sugar's been given this platform, and he's of the old guard that I'm talking about. You know, there's a defensiveness, a protectiveness. He wants his style of business to be the style of business. You know, he speaks of it from success, and so he's trying to breed a new generation in his image. But I hope that that's just telly, and actually in the real world, that's not happening so much.
But how are we going to explain to people that, you know, this is just telly, and this isn't what happens in the real world, and this isn't how you should aspire to behave to get on?
So we have to change the people who are the face of these programs, the face of these initiatives. You know, going back to kind of local politics, you know, wouldn't it be great to have some new faces that there are represented around parish and town councils? And I'm sure there are. I'm sure you're coming across people who are dipping their toes in and come from a completely different background to some of those men that you.
And to be fair, a lot of them are there already.
Yeah, yeah. So how do we get them selling the idea, you know, promoting the journey? Some might lack confidence, but it would be great to do that.
I guess a lot of them do. I mean, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter.
Yep.
The numbers are still growing. It's dead exciting.
So like 1,000 in a short while.
Yes. But, you know, you can always do it a few more.
Yes.
you know, promote, you know, best practice in councils. And if you follow it, because this comes from the National Association of Local Councils, who deal with the whole country. And time again, you know, you're seeing not just young people, you know, that have done something really great in their community, but older people that have promoted the young people, you know. But not quite such a sexy story as Hanforth.
No, I think that was very much of its moment, because it felt like it was a comedy sketch, I think. Let's be positive. What does the next few years look like? How can we make, or what will local government look like when it's better?
I mean, it is changing, and it will, you know, whether it all wants to change or not, it will change. Some of it will be faster, some of it will be slower. But as long as we're hoping that we can get government to extend the ability to hold virtual meetings past the 7th of May, I mean, that would be one of the single best steps forward, both for scrutiny, to allow members of the public to witness what's happening, and also to encourage people who actually might want to get involved, you know, historically want to get involved, but are challenged by virtue of the fact that meetings are sometimes quite long, sometimes nearly always in the evening, and, you know, that they have other responsibilities, whether it be work or caring responsibilities. So, you know, that in itself will make a huge difference.
And you can kick people out, obviously.
Certainly mute them.
Yes, indeed. And I think you're right, and I think that's the case in all manners of communication, isn't it? You know, I think there was so much reliance on, particularly in the public sector, again, a lot of work there. You know, people needing to travel for an hour and a half to be seen at a meeting for 10 minutes, because politically they need to be visible and update people. But actually, it's environmentally bad. It's bad for mental health. It's bad planning. It's bad time management. All those things. But then on the other hand, I'm sure, you know, a lot of the informal relationships that normally also help to build trust, it's harder to do online. So perhaps there needs to be a kind of hybrid or an alternative, or, you know, just much more flexibility.
Well, just both.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that, you know, some meetings you will hold virtually and some meetings you will hold physically.
Is it the case that all public meetings like that are recorded and sort of made available anyway, or is it just some? I should know the rules on it.
It's up to the council to decide whether or not it records its meetings and publishes them. However, the public do not need permission to record meetings and to publish them.
Okay. Would it be better to encourage more councils to do that as a matter of course and to make them more available rather than relying on someone with a smartphone at the back of the room? It'd be great to have them indexed and, you know, as a proper kind of public record of how decisions are made.
And it also allows the councils themselves, the councillors themselves, to up their game. There is a difference when you don't have witnesses, so that irrespective of whether the meeting is virtual or it's physical.
Yeah.
There's often kind of like an accusation of it being, you know, whatever, closed shop, boys club, whatever you want to call it. But if there's nobody else there breaking in, why would it be anything else? When there are other people there, I think it does change the level of debate among the councillors, whether that's virtual or physical.
Yeah. Have you had much contact with your colleagues from that particular call since then? Do you know what they think of your newfound fame?
I don't know what they think of my newfound fame. I know that they are completely unrepentant.
Yes.
And feel that I have done them a huge disservice by making them look bad.
There's some deep irony there. But, well, maybe they'll get their musical theatre moment. But let's hope not.
I'm saying nothing.
Of course. And what's the future for you? You know, it's clear you've got a talent for this communication game, and I think you'll be in the public eye for a little while, is my hunch. Is that something you want to do more with?
I think that will largely be determined outside of my my control. I mean, I would be delighted to continue doing this, because there's never been such an opportunity to get that message out. There just hasn't. And if we have some fun along the way, then surely that's a win-win situation. But if it doesn't, then I shall go back to my day job and enjoy having my weekends back.
The book deals and the film rights and the offers to appear in the musical once it gets its West End premiere, you're going to keep quiet about those?
No, someone has asked me to write a book, and I've agreed to work on that.
Great.
I've also got a bit of filming coming up with Steph's Packed Lunch. They've asked me to do a mini documentary. And if Tom Cruise is free, he just needs to get in touch.
Well, we'll do what we can to get in front of him.
If any help, tell him I am relatively short.
Jackie, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you, as I thought it would. And I think the message that you've got and the passion that you've got for local government is infectious, and it's important. And I hope that everybody takes a moment to kind of better understand some of those opportunities around them to really make a difference in the communities, because it's not just a thing that happens in pandemics. There's infrastructure there all the time so that people can really make a difference.
Well, there is. And if I could just plug this, Richard, I mean, the National Association of Local Councils have a tremendous resource on their website. That's at nalt.gov.uk. And in particular, if anybody has any, and want to just dip their toe in the water and find out a little bit more, have a look at their Make a Change campaign.
Fantastic. We'll make sure there are links to that in the notes of this. Yeah, thank you so much, and good luck with everything. And I'll be watching your stardom continue with
I shall hold you to that, Richard. Lovely.
Hello, it's me again. Thank you so much to Jackie Weaver for spending some time with me. What a glorious conversation it was as well. If you enjoyed it, and I hope you did, then please like, share, subscribe, review, do all that you can to let other people hear Jackie and what she had to say. Please do also join the Possibility Club Hub at thepossibilityclub.org. You'll find all sorts of wonderful discussion topics and nuggets of information and great people to learn from, and we'll all be discussing what comes out of this podcast as well. Completely free to join. If you've not subscribed to the Possibility Club podcast, please do. Tons of episodes stretching back now to last July, in which we look at the coronavirus pandemic, what we've learned and what comes next. And there's a new series that you'll find on that stream as well, called Aging Well, which is a collaboration between Always Possible and the University of Sussex, in which we talk to expert researchers and grassroots practitioners, social workers, all sorts, technologists, about how do we live long and happy lives, what's the current research telling us, and what can we do to better design products and services with, for, and by older people. Worth checking out. So you need to just click one button that says subscribe, and you'll get both the After the Corona and Aging Well podcasts plopping very regularly directly into your ear holes. Lovely. Good. Well, thank you very much again to Jackie. Thank you for listening, and I will see you again very, very soon. This has been an Always Possible podcast. I've been Richard Freeman for Always Possible, and this has been produced and edited by Chris Thorpe Tracy for Lo-Fi Arts. Lo-Fi Arts.